Now is the time, episode 32. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Friends, welcome to another episode of Now is the Time. Today we are going to be talking about the problem with the worship experience. You know, one of the things that I have noticed recently in churches is this increase in the emphasis of the worship experience. And I think that there is a great danger in that. And so I'm going to be talking about that this episode. Before I get into that, let me though give you a quick update. If you caught the last post I put up on the blog, our mission team has decided to start a fund to help refugees in Ukraine. And that is because as a result of the fighting in eastern Ukraine, in the Donetsk and Lugansk regions, and also as a result of Russia annexing Crimea, there are literally tens of thousands of refugees in Ukraine right now. And I know that some of them have ended up in Odessa, and of course they're spread out in many different cities in Ukraine. Many of them are in Kharkov, some are in Dnipropetrovsk, but we have decided that we can't just sit by and do nothing. We want to help. And you can, I mean, it's hard to imagine what it would be like to just literally have to leave your home with nothing except for maybe, you know, a few things that you could get into a bag. Maybe if you're lucky, some of these people have cars and they could bring a few more things. But for the most part, these people are being evacuated by buses. And so if you would like to participate in that and help refugees in Ukraine, just check out the last blog post that I put up on our site. Actually, I will put a link in the show notes for this podcast episode. So I'll just put a link there, and that will take you directly to the information about how you can give. And that is through our mission, ABWE, which stands for Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. So, of course, all that is tax deductible and all that good stuff. So, anyway, that's the announcement there. As far as personal stuff that's going on, we are, you know, we're getting ready for heading east. We leave Washington on July 5th, and then we'll be heading to Lewiston, Idaho, where we'll be speaking on the 6th of July. And from there, we head to Minnesota, and we're going to be in Minnesota at New Life Church in St. Paul, Minnesota, or Woodbury, Minnesota, which is right near St. Paul area. And then we head to Philadelphia for a few days, and then we're down in the Washington, D.C. area for a few days, and then we're back in Minnesota. And so all of that is about a 3.5-week trip. Most of July, we are going to be on the road. But if you are in any of those areas and you'd like to see us, just let me know. And if possible, you know, if we can work something out, we'll try and work something out. But generally, the areas we're going to be in, in July, is going to be Lewiston, Idaho, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and also, I forgot the name of the town now, but also another church there in Northfield, Minnesota. And of course, you know, we'll be driving along the way too. So anyway, if you would like to see us, just send me a note and let me know, and we'll try to work something out. And this weekend, this weekend we are actually doing family camp with our sending church here, Discovery Baptist. So my kids are looking forward to that because they haven't been camp. Well, last time they were camping was in Ukraine, and I heard that there are flush toilets at this camp. So that is going to be quite a luxurious experience for my children who have never camped in a place that has flush toilets. But we're looking forward to that and spending time with our church family here in Gig Harbor, Washington. All right, so let's talk about the worship experience. Now, what I've noticed in last last year or two is when I've really noticed this becoming more and more popular, is the emphasis on experience in worship. And sometimes you see this emphasis primarily in the worship service. But oftentimes, you know, if you just go to a church webpage, sometimes they will refer to their worship services as worship experiences. And I mean, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but what I am saying is that all this emphasis on experience indicates a wrong focus, okay? And certainly it is probably something that has come from our society. So, for instance, I've been, you know, I look around on church websites and things, and if we go to visit churches or what have you, and I see that oftentimes they will say something like, 10:30 we have this worship experience, and at 12 o'clock we have that worship experience. And so you definitely have, in many churches today, an emphasis upon your experience. What will you experience? What will you feel? What will you see here? And how will that affect you? Okay? I mean, how will that affect your feelings? Okay? That's what experience is about. And for instance, here's a church. I just pulled up a website of a church this is actually a church here in Geek Harbor where we are right now. It's called, what is the name of this church here? It's called HCC. Not sure what that stands for because it doesn't say anywhere here. Oh, Harbor Christian Center. Okay, so this church is called Harbor Christian Center. And I'll put the link in the show notes. But if you look at their... I just opened up their first page of their church and their church website. And what I get is three things. Experience God. Experience growth. Experience giving back. Now, are any of those things bad? No, they're not. I think it's wonderful to experience God. It is great to experience growth. And it's good to experience giving back. But again, like I said, those things are not wrong in and of themselves, but what they do represent is a focus that misses the mark. Because when I think of church and when I think of worship, should the first thought on my mind be experience? What will I feel? And I am not at all saying that there is not an experience of worship or an experience of being part of a church or being in a worship service. There is an experience. But what I am saying is this. Experience is subjective, and experience is not the goal, nor the reason, nor the motivation of why we worship, how we worship, who we worship, or where we worship. Okay? It is not the goal. It should not be our motivation. It should not be our focus. And, you know, I believe that when churches begin to make experience a significant part of their worship services, they will also find that they are cultivating what I call selfish worship. Now, let me give you an illustration just so that you can kind of see how this works out in life. A couple of years ago, I remember that our church in Ukraine was putting together their Christmas service. Now, the Christmas I mean, churches in America too, we put a lot of effort into those Christmas services. It's a time when there's guests. We want the feeling to be right. I mean, I understand that, and I do understand. We want the feeling to be right, and so we put up we light candles, we get the right decorations, and the musicians prepare for weeks ahead of time, and the choir, and the special music, and the sermon is oftentimes a little bit shorter on Christmas because of all those special things. And so anyway, we prepared, and there was special music, and there was special decorations, and all of these wonderful things that we do so that we can have a wonderful experience for the Christmas worship service. And here's what happened. After the Christmas service, I was walking home with another church member, and that church member turned to me and said, "Caleb, what did you think about the service?" And I said, "Oh, it was wonderful. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great." And I did. I really did enjoy the service. I thought it was great. The music was wonderful. It was truthful. It pointed people to Christ. And I knew that those who participated in the service really gave their all. And I think that that also spoke to me. So anyway, I said, "Hey, I think it was great." And, you know, he said, his response was, this guy who asked me how I thought the service was, he said, "Well, I don't know. The music seemed a little off. It didn't seem to, it seemed a little artificial. He had a few criticisms about the musicians and how they played, and it wasn't quite the way he wanted it." And so he ended up having a bad worship experience. And you have to think, what was the difference? What was the difference? Because we both heard the same thing. We were both in the same service. And here's the difference. The difference is the heart. It really is. And when we begin to focus on experience as the standard by which we measure good worship and bad worship, we get ourselves into a really bad spot, because experience is always subjective. And so I could have a wonderful experience even though the musicians are terrible. And someone else could have a terrible experience, even though the musicians are wonderful. Because those things are subjective. Now, by the way, another interesting factor is that this guy that was asking me about my worship experience, and I had a good one, he had a bad one, you know, I found out later that he was seeing another woman, and he ended up divorcing his wife and marrying another woman. So I think that there was a sin issue there too. And that brings up another issue, because the worship experience very rarely mentions the fact of the importance of repentance and how sin affects our worship. Because the fact is that if you are harboring some sort of sin, or you are living in sin, or you are not repentive of your sin, you know, you can have some sort of emotional experience, but you just really cannot worship in the fullest sense. And I think that the worship experience tends to, or emphasis on the worship experience tends to just leave that out. And so we end up getting people that judge their worship based upon, you know, the skill of the musicians, the particular style that the musicians played in. You get too much of a focus on style and also the emotions that the worship team was able to produce within you. And I don't think that's how we should be judging worship. And in addition to those things, just another, you know, a few other problems with the worship experience is, or with emphasizing the experience of worship, is this. Worship experience, you know what it implies? It implies that you receive something. You receive an experience. Whereas biblical worship is always about giving something. But when you're always referring to worship in the sense of what experience did you have, then it by nature, logically implies that through worship, you receive something. Also, you know, it really focuses worship on the individual, whereas biblical worship focuses everything on God. And the individual is really almost of no concern. The concern is giving glory and honor to God. By the way, there's also something interesting that I saw recently, and that is there's a whole conference called the Worship, or no, what is it called? It's called Experience Conference. I don't know if you ever heard of that. It's kind of a conference for worship leaders. And let me just read for you a section of their purpose statement. Again, I think the Experience Conference probably has some good teachers in it. They probably has some good advice for worship leaders. And in general, their statement of faith is probably decent. But look at, let me read for just a little bit from their purpose statement. It says this: through Experience Conference, you will be inspired, refreshed, equipped, and encouraged to take your ministry to the next level. Okay, who does that focus on? It focuses on you, doesn't it? Our goal is to rekindle the passion for the ministry God has called you to, introduce you and your team to new and fresh worship music. And you see that there is a focus just on you. And I think that's one of the greatest problems in contemporary worship today, is that it has become selfish. It has become selfish. Now, think about this for a minute. There is an experience in worship, just because there is an experience in life. But experience is always the byproduct of worship, but never the goal or the aim of worship. And so in Scripture, you know, you have some descriptions of worship, and you have some descriptions of how, what people's experiences were like who were in the presence of God. One of the ones that I like the most is Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, when he sees God on the throne and falls down, and his experience is one of horror and terror. Now, you don't see many worship leaders today saying, come and experience the terror of God, do you? And that was his experience, and then, of course, he repented. He received forgiveness and God sent him. But it was a downright scary experience to begin with. But his experience was not the point. And also we see in the book of Revelation, like Revelation chapter 4, if you want to check that out, you also see this amazing, beautiful picture of the 24 elders bowing down and worshiping at the throne. And it is an amazing experience. But again, that is not the point of the worship. The point of the worship is to give glory to God. And that should be the point of our worship, not a passive, what will I get out of this service? Do I like the style of music? Does it work for me or not? No. Worship is about first and foremost laying yourself before God and saying, I don't deserve this. Forgive me for my sins. And then giving him praise, adoration, and thanksgiving as a response to his goodness towards us. Now, I think that there can be also a danger on the other side here, because what has happened, I think, in some churches that would consider themselves to be Reformed, although technically I would also be Reformed, but there is a new kind of breed of Reformed churches now that would almost go completely the opposite direction, where during the worship service, you know, you can't have anything that would make you respond in an emotional way. And I think that that is going too far on the other side. But here's the thing. I am not against, like for instance, Christmas, decorating, using candles. I'm not against a worship band. I am not against songs that call you to raise your hands or bow your knee, or that have deep emotional aspects to them. I think that those things are good and proper as long as the focus is proper. And if you remember what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, he said there, God is wants worshipers that worship him in spirit and truth. He didn't say God wants worshipers that have a great experience. So the standard by which we should judge worship is it truthful? And is my spirit, is my heart sincerely worshiping, not just on the outside? Is it truthful? And is my heart worshiping? Is it the true intent of my heart? That's how we evaluate ourselves in worship, not by the experience that we receive. And, you know, I've been in lots of different worship services in different countries. I've been in Ukraine, in Russia, in Moldova, in Hungary, in Brazil, Peru. Okay, I've been throughout the world in different worship services. Everyone has a different style. Many services I've been in had terrible music. The worship leader couldn't even sing a right note. But worship was there. And no, I didn't have maybe some great amazing experience like I've had at other times, but worship was there because hearts were there and truth was there. We must evaluate worship by truth and by our spirits. But, you know, there's another thing there. Because that Samaritan woman was worried about the fact that the Jews go to the temple to worship. And in a way that the Jews judged their worship by the outward action and the place. And today many Christians judge their worship by the emotions that are present, the style of worship, and their experience. And that's really, in a way, similar to how the Jews judged their worship by the place they were at. Were they in Jerusalem? Were they on the Temple Mount? Were they in the temple? Were they doing the sacrifices? And God says, no, it is spirit and truth. So, let me mention one thing here that I forgot. Some churches, like I said, Reformed churches can go even too far to say, let's not do anything special, no worship bands, no candles, nothing that would evoke any kind of emotions or experience, you know. And here's how I think that we ought to pursue that. as we come to God in worship, we ought to come excellently. And we ought to represent in worship the greatness of God and the greatness of our thanksgiving to God. And that means using everything that we can use. That means go ahead, decorate. Make it look good. Make it sound good. Pour your heart and soul into worship. Just don't make the subjective experience your standard. Don't make it the rule by which you judge that worship. Pour your heart into it. Give God your best. But don't make that emotional response the standard by which you judge worship. So we need to have the proper heart attitude, and we need to pursue worship in truth. And, you know, also, I think that we need to realize that worship is something that we need to do every day. And the best way, really, to have a good experience is to worship God every day. And ultimately, that's going to result in a wonderful experience when you worship, even if that is not your goal. I do want to suggest one book on worship, and John MacArthur wrote a book just a couple of years ago, and it's called Worship, the Ultimate Priority. I'll put a link in the show notes to that. You might want to check that out. It's a great book, just describing really biblically what worship is and how it should be a priority in our lives and not just something that we do on Sundays. All right, folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out this podcast on iTunes if you're not there. You can also catch the show notes at sukofamily.org/32, and you'll see all the links there, and also a way to give to the Ukraine Fund to help refugees from Eastern Ukraine. And we appreciate your support of this ministry, whether it's in prayer or whether it's financial. So until next time, be blessed.